You know, it's my great pleasure right now to introduce to everybody a man who really needs no introduction.
Carl.
Dragon.
King.
I'm not calling the fans geeks. I'm not calling them rednecks, tobacco chewing nothing, because I've done all that myself.
Carl.
Dragon.
King.
Carl.
In your dreams, you will see me.
Excuse me, please, let's don't talk negatively.
I'm going to win the title. I'm going to keep my money and buy me some good old Tennessee drinking whiskey with it.
Thank you for being such a great husband.
And this is for you, Fannie Mae. Solid gold, baby, just like you and me.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Dragon King Carl Classic Wrestling Audio Show at WrestlingObserver.com, Figure4Online.com. This is also the When It Was Cool Wrestling Podcast. Thank you very much for joining me. We're up to the long-form history of wrestling series here on our rotation of classic wrestling shows. We're talking about wrestling history in depth and in detail. And we're covering September of 1983, and I love these weeks at When It Was Cool. The day before these shows on our Patreon, we go through the Wrestling Observer for that month. And back in 1983, the Wrestling Observer newsletter by Dave Meltzer was a monthly publication, so it works out real good. It doesn't go weekly until a couple more years down the road. So as we move forward in this series, at least for the foreseeable future, we'll get to go through the Observer month by month. And so we did that yesterday. If you go to whenitwascool.com and become a $5 or more Patreon, you can get that show. And I love going through those newsletters. I always find something interesting at the time, some bit of forgotten history. You know, the narrative over the years has largely been set, but man, you get these little nuggets of information, stuff that's really been forgotten about. One of the things that we've been talking a lot about here lately on that show for this time period is this kind of a group of promoters were sort of going rogue from the NWA, and it's something you really never heard much about. Southwestern Championship Wrestling, even Georgia Championship Wrestling. Georgia didn't even really announce the Harley Race's seventh world title win until well into his reign. I mean, now we're getting to the points this September, Ric Flair is going to get the world title back in November. You got Adrian Adonis running around with this look-alike NWA world title belt down in Southwestern. Now, that belt's changed hands, and we're going to talk about that. All right, and we'll talk more about that. Of course, the demise of that championship's coming up here in one of our first notes. And so let's get into it. Let's get into September 1983. The script for the show is taken from my new book, Dragon King Carl's 1983 Pro Wrestling Omnibus, available at Amazon.com. You can get it as a soft cover book or a Kindle book. If you're a $10 or more support, a Patreon supporter at whenitwascool.com, you'll get a digital copy there as well. And we now have available again the Stern Stick Greatest Hits Flash Drive. You can read all about that on the front page of When It Was Cool, and there's a digital copy on there as well. All right, let's get into it. The WWF Champions on Tour down in Florida. We've talked about this a lot over the years. Both the NWA and WWF Champion would regularly appear down in Florida, even though Eddie Graham's promotion down there recognized the NWA belt as the world championship. The WWF was a part of the NWA at this point in time, and occasionally, rarely, it would pop up in other promotions, but Florida more than most. Bob Backlund would come down there. Even Superstar Graham before him would come regularly down there. So on September 1st, 1983, in Jacksonville, Florida, WWF Champion defeated Kareem Muhammad, and that is the new name for Leroy Brown. They're doing the Zambui Express gimmick down there. Also on the 1st, as we mentioned, alluded to, in Wichita Falls, Texas, Scott Casey defeats Tully Blanchard to retain the quote, undisputed world championship. And the belt looked just like the 10 pounds of gold, the NWA belt. Adrian Adonis had won it earlier in a tournament. Scott Casey had beat him for it here. He defends against Tully Blanchard. And this is likely the last reference to that title before it's just dropped. And the whole thing falls apart. We talked about it yesterday on the Observer show where we went through the Wrestling Observer, that Dave even mentions that they've all just, you know, really quit working together. George's sort of pulled out of this deal as well. And that's going to be all of that for this NWA. You know, I guess I don't even know what to call it. It's not like they were trying to start a new alliance or something. They were just kind of doing a side project, I guess. I don't really know what their intentions were, but that's the end of that story anyway. September the 2nd, 1983, the Cobra, who is George Takano, beats Bruce Hart for the Stampede Commonwealth title in Calgary, one of their light heavyweight championships. September the 4th, 1983, riding the incredible popularity of the CWA Memphis Wrestling Television Show, WMC TV 5 in Memphis debuts the Jerry Lawler Show, a talk show with the host being, of course, Jerry Lawler. It was kind of like your David Letterman type show. The show ran for a little while, and Jerry even had guests other than wrestling stars on there. It was sort of a local Memphis celebrity type show. There's several of these on YouTube. You can look them up, especially the ones involving wrestlers. There are a few of these. And, you know, quite honestly, wasn't a very good show. I always found that show pretty boring, really. But, hey, you know, the show was the most popular show on their TV station. Wrestling was red hot. Jerry Lawler was a pop culture celebrity right now with all the Andy Kaufman stuff been going on. You know, it's no wonder he got something like this. I mean, Jerry Lawler really was in the 1980s, late 70s into the 80s, a huge celebrity in the Memphis area. And also on September 4th, 1983, Mike Graham defeated the NWA World Champion Hardy Race in Orlando, Florida, but he didn't win the belt. I don't have the exact result from where I pulled that result from. It would have been probably a count out or DQ. It didn't specify. Maybe it was from the newspaper, actually. But yes, Mike Graham. A lot of people think of him as a lightweight wrestler, junior heavyweight. Of course, he held the AWA Junior World Junior Championship, but he got a lot of matches against the World Heavyweight Champion down in Florida, as you can imagine, with his dad owning the company and getting that big. You know, I started to say Greg Gagne push, but you know, Mike was a pretty good, darn good wrestler. I mean, he really was better than a lot of people, I think, remember him. Big Show in Dallas for World Class on September the 5th, 1983. This is Labor Day, so this is one of their holiday-themed Star Wars cards. They had multiples of these throughout the year. And this one draws 11,573 people to the convention center. Have Chris Adams beating Mr. Ebony, who has amassed Tom Jones. Kerry Von Erich beats Michael Hayes in a country whipping match. Always hated those. Always thought those were so stupid. World-class Texas champion David Von Erich beats Terry Gordy. Kevin Von Erich defeated the world-class American champion, that's their top belt at this time, the American championship. The champion's Jimmy Garvin. Kevin beats him by DQ. Bruiser Brody beat Kamala in a lumberjack match. Kamala had been getting a legitimate monster push down there, man. He had been just destroying people. Johnny Mantell beat the Mongol. Mongol in this instance is Gene Pettit. World-class world six-man tag team champions, the Freebirds. All three of them, Michael Hayes, Terry Gordy, and Buddy Roberts, beat the Von Erich trio of Kerry, Kevin, and David Von Erich. Iceman Parsons beats Buddy Roberts from the Freebirds. Also on this same day, Labor Day, 1983, in Memphis, Tennessee, at the Mid-South Coliseum, pretty good crowd, over half full. 6,696 people are there. Bruise Brother number 2 beats Jeff Young. I guess it's probably Mad Dog. Bobby Fulton beat Frankie Lane. The Jaguar. Well, we get the Nightmares under mask again, but not as the Nightmares, nor as the Galaxians. Danny Davis is now the Jaguar, and Ken Wayne is Stray Cat. So Ken Wayne did this kind of knockoff Tiger Mask gimmick on and off, and not just Memphis, but Central States too. In fact, he even called himself Tiger Mask at times. But here we have the Jaguar and the Stray Cat teaming with Bobby Fulton and Spike Huber to beat Dream Machine, who is actually Troy Graham, I should say. This is Troy Graham and a Porkchop Cash and the Prince of Darkness and Lucifer. Got all kinds of weird names in this particular match. So And I'm not, I don't recall and I don't know who the Prince of Darkness and Lucifer were in this instance. I mean, you can always guess, you know, Don Bass and Roger Smith, right? But they were the assassins at this point in time, as we'll see coming up. The U.S. Junior Championship. Now, this is Ron Fuller's belt. It's not even a Memphis belt, but Tommy Rogers is the U.S. Junior Champion. And here he is in Memphis defending the U.S. Junior Championship and beats Carl Fergie. The Rock and Roll Express, Ricky Morton and Robert Gibson, beat the Southern Tag Team Champions, who at this point in time are the Grapplers, Lynn Denton and Tony Anthony under mask. They don't win the belts, though. This is by DQ, so the Grapplers keep the belts. Buddy Landell beat Coco Ware to win the Mid-America title, with Eddie Marlin and Jimmy Hart as the special referees. Bobby Eaton and Terry Taylor and Tom Pritchard beat the Moondogs, Rex and Spot, and their partner, the Giant Rebel, who was Stan Frazier. Man, there's a lot of people in this card. Lots of multi-man tag team matches. A lot of people in this card. The CWA Tag Team Champions, the Assassins, just talked about them. Don Bass and Roger Smith battled the Fabulous Ones, Steve Kern and Stan Lane, to a double countout. And as a result of that, the CWA Tag Team titles were held up. Austin Idol beat Ken Patera to win the CWA International title. Bill Dundee beat Dutch Mantel. And in your main event, Jerry Lawler beat Bill Dundee to win the vacant Southern title. Man, a lot of people on that show. See how many people. How many people were on this show? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 10. Gosh, man, there's like literally 40 people on this show. All right, September 6, 1983, Bob Backlund beat the NWA champion Harley Race in Tampa, but again, it was on a screwball finish, like a count out or something like that. So Mulligan, of course, didn't win the championship. September the 7th, 1983, in Miami Beach, Florida, and this was always Florida's biggest show of the loop. Florida, you know, was a heavily covered area. It was, you know, because Dusty Rhodes, everybody always, you know, loved Eddie Graham, thought a lot of him, but their shows weren't big number shows. Like a lot of other territories drew a lot more people. Really, the only show every on their weekly loop that drew 5,000 or more any amount of time was Miami Beach. And here they have 5,675. To see Dusty Rhodes beat the Purple Haze, who is Mark Lewin, in a chain match. The NWA World Champion, of course, is we've been talking about, is in town, and Harley Race beats Ric Flair, who's pretty soon going to get that title back. Angelo Mosca and Blackjack Mulligan beat the Zambui Express, Elijah Akeem and Kareem Muhammad by DQ. Joe LeDuc beats Barry Windham in a lumberjack match. Mike Graham beats Ron Bass by DQ. Scott McGee beats Kevin Sullivan by DQ. And Charlie Cook battled Les Thornton to a draw. September the 8th, 1983, in Jacksonville, Florida, the NWA World Champion. Harley Race beats Barry Windham. September the 9th, 1983, World Class is going to have a TV taping at the Sportatorium in Dallas. Bruiser Brody beats Terry Gordy. Kevin and Kerry Von Erich beat the Mongol and his partner, Mr. Ebony. Terry Gordy beats Ken Johnson. Iceman Parsons beats Jimmy Garvin. Chris Adams battled Buddy Roberts to a draw. Kerry Von Erich beat Mr. Ebony, and Johnny Mantell beat Coco Samoa. The World Class TV show was such a refreshing change from all the others. It wasn't just squash match after squash match. They did have squash matches on there, but there were a lot of really good matches on World Class show way before anybody else was doing that. September the 10th, 1983, in Lakeland, Florida, for the Championship Wrestling from Florida promotion, Dusty Rhodes defeated Kevin Sullivan, a loser leave town, for 60 days match. Also on the show, the NWA World Champion Harley Race beats Barry Windham. Also on September 10th, 1983, the WWF is in Landover, Maryland at the Capitol Center. Attendance 15,271. Don Kernodle, yes, he's up in WWF this time. Following Sergeant Slaughter up there, Don Kernodle beats Jeff Craney. Big John Studd beats Salvatore Bellomo. Tiger Chung Lee beat Pete Sanchez. Sergeant Slaughter beat Tony Garea. The Invaders, Jose Gonzalez and Johnny Rivera beat Charlie Brown and Butcher Vachon. And you should note that the Invaders in WWF were Jose Gonzalez and Johnny Rivera. Jose Gonzalez number one and Johnny Rivera number two. Down in Puerto Rico, you had different numbering. The invaders were Jose Gonzalez was number one, Roberto Soto was number two, and Johnny Rivera was invader three. So a little bit of a change in numbering for the invaders depending on where they were. Chief J. Strongbow fought Iron Mike Sharp to a draw. Tito Santana beat Ivan Koloff. SD Jones and Rocky Johnson and Tony Atlas beat the Wild Samoans. All three of them here are Afa, Sika, and Samula, the future Samu. WWF Intercontinental Champion Don Morocco beat Jimmy Snuka by countout. And the WWF Champion Bob Backlund, he's back in his home territory, he beats George Steele. September the 11th, 1983, a day that in a couple decades would be live in infamy. At the Omni in Atlanta, Georgia, Junkyard Dog beats Buzz Sawyer by DQ. In a no DQ match, Roddy Piper and Tommy Rich beat Bill Irwin and King Kong Bundy. In a Texas Death match, Pez Watley beats Greg Valentine. Yes, Pez Watley getting a big push here in Georgia. Bruno Sammartino Jr., that's David, beats Larry Zbyszko, reliving his father's, one of his father's very famous feuds with Zbyszko. And Brett Sawyer defeated Mr. Wrestling, who in this case is the original, Tim Woods. Also on September 11th, 1983, in San Antonio, Texas, Scott Casey beats Tully Blanchard for the Southwest title. Of course, so we mentioned Scott Casey had been this fake world champion running around down there, and so he's replaced that. He's now the champion, but it's the recognized Southwest championship. All right, September the 12th, 1983, in Memphis, we're right at about half full for the Mid-South Coliseum. And remember, for our long-form history of wrestling, for my research projects for these future books and stuff, we draw the line at 5,000 or more as far as attendance. That's why we don't – this would be impossible, you know, to go through every single card in history. Many promotions, you know, drew in the hundreds. So we draw it at about 5,000 or more. So Memphis is – 51-54. Tom Pritchard went to a draw with the Jaguar, who we mentioned is Danny Davis. Rock and Roll Express go to a draw with the Bruise Brothers, the Dream Machine, and Pork Chop Cash. Tommy Rogers is back in again as the U.S. Junior Champion, and he beats the Mid-America Champion, Buddy Landell, by DQ. Southern Tag Team Champions, the Grapplers, beat Dutch Mantell and Coco Ware. The Assassins, again, this is Don Bass and Roger Smith, beat the Fabulous Ones, Steve Kern and Stan Lane, to win the held-up CWA Tag Team Belts, which we talked about on their previous week's show. The Moondogs, Rex and Spot, team up with Dennis Condrey to battle Dennis Condrey's future Midnight Express partner, Bobby Eaton, along with Bill Dundee and the Giant Rebel to a no contest. The Assassins, once again, Rogers and Smith, together they beat Bill Dundee and Big Red. Big Red's this big, large, obese dude from Georgia who's just really not that good, quite frankly. That's a lights-out match. Stan Hansen, oh boy, I love these. The Stan Hansen-Austin Idol series was really, really good. Stan Hansen beat Austin Idol by countout to win the CWA International title. And Jesse Ventura pinned Jerry Lawler to win the Southern title. Yes, Jesse Ventura was Southern champion for a little while. On September 13th, 1983, Eddie Gilbert makes his first WWF TV appearance since injuring his neck in a car accident and appears with Buddy Rogers on Rogers' Corner along with WWF champion Bob Backlund. The Iron Sheik returns to the WWF at this TV taping, defeating Bob Clement in his first match back. Rene Goulet returns to the WWF after a three-year absence, defeating Ray Cooty. Tonga Kid made his WWF TV debut at this show, defeating Israel Mateo. This TV taping also featured the masked superstar, Bill Eady, coming out and injuring, quote, injuring, Eddie Gilbert in Gilbert's return match with multiple corkscrew neckbreakers. So they're building up the masked superstar. They're starting to formulate who's going to be the transitional champion. Is it going to be Iron Sheik? Is it going to be Masked Superstar? Is it going to be Sergeant Slaughter, perhaps? Well, in my Dragon King Carl note from the book, I put the first domino falls in the rise to Hulkamania and a whole new era in professional wrestling. The Iron Sheik, Hossein Khosro Al-Waziri, has spent most of the year in Georgia Championship Wrestling and now comes to the WWF with Freddie Blassie, who is now calling himself Ayatollah Blassie, as his manager. It's interesting that Iron Sheik was chosen to end Bob Backlund's long reign as WWF champion. It seemed as though the obvious choice for a go-between from Bob Backlund to Hulk Hogan would have been Sergeant Slaughter, who had been the top heel challenger in this era. Another name that has been often mentioned as a potential transitional champion was the masked superstar, Bill Eadie. And certainly that would have been fine also. However, in hindsight, with the character they were going to build with Hulk Hogan, who was a say-your-prayers-take-your-vitamins pro-USA superhero, the Iron Sheik was a great choice. All right, now we're going to take our mid-show break, come back, and we'll dive into the second half of the month. We're going to talk some David Von Erich notes and much, much more coming right up after this.
We depend on Patreon support for our website and podcast network. In order to continue these podcasts you enjoy, we need you to visit whenitwascool.com and pledge at least $1. You'll gain access to lots of exclusive podcasts, newsletters, and more. Sign up is quick, simple, and can be canceled at any time. whenitwascool.com and click any Patreon link. Thank you.
All right, we're back for the second half of the show. Let's jump into the second half of September of 1983. And again, if you want to even a deeper dive into this, become a Patreon supporter at When It Was Cool. Yesterday, we went through the September 1983 issue of The Observer. Got all kinds of notes, really, really deep dive stuff in there. And we will continue to do so for the future. So we now have, I should have all the Observers going forward. From here. So kick it off with September 16th, 1983. In St. Louis, Missouri, David Von Erich beats Ric Flair to win the NWA Missouri title. Also on the same show, Hulk Hogan beats Jerry Blackwell. Now, this is important because, you know, Ric Flair, after losing the world title to Harley Race for Race's seventh run with the title, Ric Flair won the Missouri championship. He's been Missouri champion now for a few months, and he loses that to David. So remember, you know, David Von Erich promised the NWA title. When would he ever have gotten that run? We know David's going to die in a few months, and we'll cover all that in detail here. He's got a built-in challenger. When Ric Flair gets that NWA world title belt in November, well, he's now got a built-in challenger with David. My Dragon King Carl note from the book says, with Ric Flair slated to regain the NWA World Heavyweight title from Harley Race in 2 months at the first Starrcade, it is only natural to build up a future challenger. David Von Erich was being seriously considered for a run with the NWA World title at some point, so winning the, quote, stepping stone to the NWA title, the Missouri Championship, was a natural step in building up David for a future world champion Ric Flair. In Puerto Rico, the WWC North American champion Pedro Morales would defeat Ric Flair as well. And a similar move was made in Southeastern Wrestling, with Southeastern heavyweight champion Bob Armstrong successfully defending that title against Ric Flair before Starrcade, setting him up as a strong challenger in that territory as well. So in between now, so they've clearly made that choice now. They've made the decision in November. They're going back with Ric Flair. So now between the next couple months, Flair does jobs for David Von Erich, Pedro Morales, Bob Armstrong in their particular territories to set up future challengers. And that's just a good plan. September the 17th, 1983, Jim Crockett Promotions, Charlotte, North Carolina at the Coliseum. The attendance is 5,629. Bret Hart beat Jerry Gray. No, not that Bret Hart. Bret with two T's Hart. This is Barry Horowitz beats Jerry Gray. Scott McGee beats Kelly Kaninsky. The Assassins, not the Memphis ones, but in this case it's Joe Hamilton, the original Assassin, and his tag team partners Hercules Hernandez. And Dave covers that in the Observer for this month as well. Hercules Hernandez was one of the Assassins. They beat Rick McCord and Keith Larson. Keith Larson, by the way, the brother of Don Kernodle. Keith Larson was the brother of Don Kernodle. All right, Bob Orton Jr. beats Johnny Weaver. Charlie Brown, the man from out of town, Jimmy Valiant, under a mask, beats the NWA TV champion, Great Kabuki. Ricky Steamboat, Jay Youngblood, defeat the NWA World Tag Team Champions, Jack and Jerry Briscoe. But again, it was a DQ finish. They did not win the belts. Okay, September 17th, 1983 is a big change in Southeastern wrestling. The wonderful, wonderful, very interesting, fun, hilarious at times, very heat-driven heel Bob Armstrong is going to turn back babyface. Yes, Bob Armstrong turns babyface following an exceptional heel run in Southeastern wrestling when he is attacked by the current version of the Midnight Express, who are Ron Starr, Norvell Austin, Randy Rose. They attack him and give him a pile driver on the concrete in retaliation for Bob taking up for his sons, Scott and Steve. So what had happened, Scott and Steve were the Southeastern Tag Team Champions, had won the belts from the Midnight Express, but the Midnight Express had stolen the belts. And Bob Armstrong, being, of course, in the heel dressing room, he discovers the belts. And, well, blood's thicker than water, as Bob would tell us. Bob stole the belts back and gave them to his kids out there on TV. And the Midnight Express attacked him for, you know, going through their bags. And so Bob turns back babyface here. Also on September the 17th, Barry Windham beats Joe LeDuc in Sarasota, Florida to win the Florida title. Big show down in San Juan, Puerto Rico, the World Wrestling Council 10th anniversary show in San Juan. At Hiram Bithorn Stadium, drawing 27,000 people. Big show. Miguel Perez beats Barabbas. Pete Sanchez beats The Assassin 2. And I'm guessing this is, I don't know, maybe this is Hercules Hernandez. I don't know. See if we can piece this together. I don't see the other assassin yet on this show, so maybe, maybe not. Bob Sweetin beats Gamma Singh. Hercules Ayala pins the Iron Sheik. Yeah, Iron Sheik. Why is Iron Sheik down there? We'll see in a minute. Pierre Martel beats Don Kent. Abdullah Tamba pinned Gorilla Monsoon. What's Gorilla Monsoon doing down there? Well, we'll talk about it. The WWC and Caribbean Tag Team Champions, the Super Medics, who are Jose Estrada and Johnny Roz, beat Chief Thundercloud and Choi. The WWC North American champion is Pedro Morales. He beats Ric Flair by DQ. There's that Flair match. The Puerto Rican champion, King Tonga, who is later going to be Ming Haku, pins Dory Funk Jr. The Invader 2, we talked about this earlier. Down here it's Roberto Soto. He pins Ox Baker. Kendo Nagasaki goes to a draw with El Gran Apollo. The Universal champion, Carlos Colon, goes to a draw with the NWA World Champion, Harley Race. Puerto Rico World Wrestling Council had their own, quote, world champion, actually universal champion, Carlos Colon. We've talked about how that belt come into existence previously. So, yeah, Carlos Colon's the Superman down here. Mil Máscaras and Dos Caras beat the Infernos, and the Infernos in this case are Tim Talltree and Gypsy Joe. And isn't Tim Talltree, isn't that that is the son of the original assassin, Tom Ernesto, right? Yeah. And Andre the Giant beat Abdullah the Butcher by countout. Now, I have a Dragon King Carl note for this. Why was WWF talent Gorilla Monsoon and the Iron Sheik wrestling on this World Wrestling Council show in San Juan, Puerto Rico? Well, it was because Gorilla Monsoon was part owner of the promotion and oftentimes worked, WWC oftentimes worked with WWF more freely than other territories. September the 18th, 1983, Joe LeDuc regains the Florida title from Barry Windham in Orlando, Florida. September the 19th, 1983, back to the Mid-South Coliseum. Now, we don't have the complete results for this show because they drew under half a house. They drew less than 5,000, 4,618 fans. But there are some notable historical things that happened here. The Assassins, Roger Smith and Don Bass, lost the CWA titles back, tag titles back to the Fabulous Ones. Also on the show, Dutch Mantel and Coco Ware beat the Grapplers for the Southern Tag Team titles. September 20th, 1983, in Tampa, Florida, at the Fort Hesterly Armory, a big show takes place with the main event of a steel cage loser leave town for 1 year match. Dusty Rhodes beats the masked Lucifer and unmasks him as Kevin Sullivan. So there's our Lucifer, is a masked Kevin Sullivan. Gosh, they did so many of these masked gimmicks down there in Florida, I lose track of all of them. Should have remembered that being Kevin Sullivan, but there it is. Also on the card, Barry Windham beats the Southern champion, Ron Bass, by DQ. Angelo Mosca went to a double countout with Joe LeDuc. Battled the Canadians there. Mike Rotundo beat the Purple Haze, Mark Lewin. Zambui Express, Ray Candy and Leroy Brown, known here as Elijah Akeem and Kareem Muhammad, beat Hector Guerrero and Mike Davis. And Sam Houston beat Mike Fever. September 23, 1983, the WWF Intercontinental Champion Don Morocco beats the WWF Champion Bob Backlund by countout in White Plains, New York. Don Morocco might have been another interesting transitional champion had they decided to go that direction. Also on the 23rd of September in Houston, Texas, Junkyard Dog beats the AWA World Champion Nick Bockwinkel in a non-title match. Now, if you have the Stern Stick Greatest Hits, which I've made available again, or you're a Patreon supporter when it was cool, you have access to it. I don't know if you've listened to it, but you should. The Saga of the Death of David Von Erich. This is where I did a deep, deep, deep dive into the last several months of the life of David Von Erich. And I included those notes in the book as well, the Pro Wrestling Omnibus book. So anytime you see the Saga of the Death of David Von Erich listed in there, it's in reference, just a note to that podcast. So check it out. I think it's also up on my free feed, the When It Was Cool Wrestling feed. So if you use iTunes, Apple Podcast, Amazon, wherever you get your podcast from, Spotify, search up the When It Was Cool Wrestling podcast and be sure to listen to the Saga of the Death of David Von Erich. It's the most in-depth piece I think's ever been done on the final weeks and months of the life of David Von Erich. Literally everything that's known leading up to his very, mysterious and young death at that age. But here's the note from it. World Class Wrestling, the TV taping at the Sportatorium in Dallas. Terry Gordy beats Kerry Von Erich by DQ. Bruiser Brody beats Michael Hayes by DQ. Here's David. David and Chris Adams beat the Mongol and Boris Zukov. Yes, Boris Zukov is in the area. They beat him by DQ. Johnny Mantell battled Buddy Roberts to a draw. Johnny Mantell beats Bill Rath. David Von Erich beats the Mongol in a singles match, and Iceman Parsons beats Bill Rath in a singles match as well. Now, also on September 23, 1983, what we know today as the CMLL, Consejo, it was back then known as EMLL. They don't change their name for a little bit, but this is their 50th anniversary show. Here in Mexico City, 18,000 people on hand at Arena Mexico. The Mexican National Middleweight Champion Ultraman beats El Supremo. Kevin Von Erich is down there for this. Yes, he goes down there. Now, I know we just said, well, on that date you said he was he wasn't on that TV taping, as a matter of fact. That's because I guess he's down in Mexico City. He teams with Mascara Año 2000 and Halcon Ortiz to beat Herodes, Calesio Calicetti, and Parada Morgan. What a six-man match. Can you even believe such a thing? I got to look this up, see if it's on YouTube. Kevin Von Erich teaming with Mascara Año 2000 and Halcon Ortiz beating Herodes, Calesio Calicetti, and Parada Morgan. Wow, that's a match. Ringo Mendoza and Villano 3 and Lismark beat Fiera and Moco Cota and Espectro Jr. Sangre Chicana beat MS-1 in a hair versus hair match. All right. September 24th, 1983, Mike Rotundo beats Ron Bass for the Southern title, the Florida Championship Wrestling from Florida Southern title in St. Petersburg. Also on the 24th of September, WWF is in Philadelphia at the Spectrum. 18,983 people there. This is televised on Prism Network. Salvatore Belomo beats Butcher Vachon. Don Kernodle beats Israel Matea. The Invaders, Jose Gonzalez and Johnny Rivera beat Sweet Hansen and Iron Mike Sharp by countout. The WWF Intercontinental Champion Don Morocco pinned Chief J. Strongbow. WWF Champion Bob Backlund beats Sergeant Slaughter in a Texas Death Match. Andre the Giant beats Big John Studd in a Steel Cage Match. Tiger Chung Lee beats Rene Goulet. Penny Mitchell and Susan Starr beats Judy Martin and Fabulous Moolah. Johnny Martin. Probably a wrestler named Johnny Martin somewhere. His sister Judy and Fabulous Moolah lose that match. Jimmy Snuka and Tito Santana and Rocky Johnson beat Ivan Koloff and the Wild Samoans, Afan Sika. September the 25th, 1983, the AWA's in St. Paul, Minnesota. 15,762 people, so the AWA is still very strong at this point. Brad Reagans battled the AWA World Champion Nick Bockwinkle to a draw. On this same show, Hulk Hogan beats in a handicap match David Schultz and Mr. Saito by DQ. The High Flyers, Greg Gagne and Jim Brunzel, team up with Rick Martel to beat Ken Patera, Jerry Blackwell, and Sheik Adnan LKC. Blackjack Lanza beats Bobby Heenan. Buck Zumhoff beats Steve Regal, and Steve Oskanowski beats or battle Bill White to a draw. Yeah, Bill White was getting a push in the AWA, weirdly enough. Same day, Georgia Championship Wrestling's at the Omni in Atlanta. We have Brett Sawyer, Brett Wayne at this time, beating Larry Zbyszko to win the NWA national title. It only drew 3,500 fans to the Omni. So Georgia certainly in a rough patch right now. September 26, 1983, Bob Armstrong. This is where Bob beats Ric Flair, by the way. Bob beats Ric Flair to retain the NWA Southeastern title in Birmingham, Alabama at the historic Boutwell Auditorium. Also on the 26th in West Palm Beach, Florida, the NWA World Champion Harley Race beats Barry Windham by countout. Down in San Antonio, Texas, the Fabulous Blondes, Eric Embry, and the man who was my mentor in wrestling, Ken Timms, defeated Scott Casey and Buddy Marino to win the Southwest Tag Team Championship. Scott Casey was substituting for Bobby Jaggers in that match. You know, Scott Casey's all over everything. If you haven't figured out yet who the top star in Southwestern wrestling is, well, let me spell it out for you. It's Scott Casey. September the 28th, 1983, Barry Windham beat NWA World Champion Harley Race by DQ in Miami Beach, Florida. And the final note I have for September the 29th, 1983, Blackjack Mulligan beats NWA World Champion Harley Race by DQ in Jacksonville, Florida. So a transitional month. I would say this is a transitional month. We are clearly transitioning from Harley Race as NWA World Champion to we're prepping Ric Flair. He's been the Missouri State Champion. He's now lost that belt. We're now preparing challengers for Ric Flair coming up. David Von Erich is getting prepped, although we know that story is going to end in tragedy. Southwest Wrestling, Georgia Wrestling, any of the other promoters that were trying to do something separate and apart from the NWA, well, that's all falling apart. Georgia's struggling right now. Southwest Wrestling is struggling right now. And World Class is hot. AWA is red hot. WWF for sure is hot. So it's a mixed bag in the wrestling world. Southeastern Wrestling with Bob Armstrong is cooling off. Bob Armstrong's very hot heel run as champion is going to lead into a kind of a mild 1984. Southeastern is going to be good in 1984. Ron Fuller is going to become that, you know, stud stable manager with his tuxedo and his top hat, and he's going to be outrageous and over the top. But quite frankly, business wasn't as strong in 1984, and there were times where, goodness, by in the summer of 84, Southeastern was struggling. They had almost a skeleton crew working down there before they become Continental Wrestling in 1985 and turn it back up for a little while. So that is cyclical. It's ebbing and flowing down in Southeastern Wrestling as well. Memphis is about, you know, it's about at its median level. Memphis, for the most, you always hear, you know, all these sellouts of Mid-South Coliseum, and certainly there were lots of them, the big successful TV show, and that's all true too. But, you know, for the most part, your average attendance for Mid-South Coliseum was somewhere in the 6,000 to 7,000 range, and that's about where they're at right now. So they're on about their average, I would say. We didn't really have any Japanese notes this month, so the company's really not having big shows, All Japan or New Japan this month. But then there's the big, obviously, Lucha Libre is still hot, EMLL down in Mexico with their 50th anniversary show and drawing I wouldn't say a gigantic crowd for that, but a big show nevertheless. 50 years, it's the oldest promotion. It's still going today, CMLL, as it's now known, still a hot promotion. So that is September of 1983. So if you'd like to jump on board now, hope you will. Go order my book, Dragon King Carl's 1983 Pro Wrestling Omnibus from Amazon. You can get all this. Look, just go to the front page of whenitwascool.com. You can order the book from Amazon. You can become a Patreon supporter. You can see all of our free shows on our podcasting network. And we don't just do pro wrestling history. We do pop culture history, retro pop culture. We have all kinds of shows dealing with TV, movies, music, sports, all kinds of stuff. Check it out. WhenItWasCool.com. Thank you very much for supporting us, and we'll see you here again soon with another show.
When It Was Cool is your home for retro pop culture fun. We feature hundreds of podcasts on classic TV shows, movies, retro sports, toys, history, music, wrestling, and more. Tons of free podcasts, and hit any Patreon button for a deeper dive into our premium shows. WhenItWasCool.com. Fun and friendly.